This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We all saw it in this town and probably 40 million of us across the country yesterday. Maybe the worst coaching decision in NFL history. Jimmy Johnson said he's never seen anything like that in 70 years in the game. It was the great Matt Eberflus, christened Matt Eberflus because he's finding new ways to lose. And I mean very innovative, historically incredible ways to lose.
Yeah, I like what we did there.
That was him after the game saying he liked what we did. To be that unaware, the lack of self-awareness, the lack of what might be going on back in Chicago within the fan base, the least that you owe those people is, I screwed that up in ways unimaginable. I apologize to the entire Bear, is it Bear Nation? What do they call themselves? I don't know. There needed to be an apology, perhaps with tears. And a written note, like take out an ad in the Chicago Sun-Times or something.
Even if it's the quarterback's fault, you know, 50%, which I don't think it was necessarily, as the head coach, you have to take that blame so that it's not thrust on Caleb Williams, right? I mean, you're one of your
that
biggest...
Too. Yeah.
One of your biggest descriptions of your job right now is to make sure that you make things work with this first overall pick, and he's going to get some heat now because the coach wouldn't take the blame entirely for this.
Well, he might. I tend to think that the way Caleb played in that game yesterday, that Bears fans were pretty thrilled with that because he was electric in the second half. I tend to think that Eberflus, no matter what he said, is going to take the brunt of this. But I do agree with you that that's part of the reason, as a coach, you go up there and say what you need to say. But he's the one with timeout power. Like, what in the world are you thinking? And then you made a worse decision somehow. You might have made the worst decision in the history of football. Then you made a worse one 10 minutes later in front of the media by saying, what did he say again? Can I hear that again?
Yeah, I like what we did there.
I actually love that. I do, but it has me thinking about the worst decisions in every sport, the worst coaching decision decisions in Pittsburgh sports history. I noted Victor Tikhonov taking the best goalie in the world out of the Miracle on Ice game, an Olympic semifinal. with the score 2-2. Took out the best goalie, maybe the best player on the planet. He took him out. And then my friend Josh Yowie reminded me, should also be noted that Russia never pulled the goalie while down 4-3 in the final minute. How about that? Did you forget about that, Sean?
I did forget about that, yeah.
Other horrible NFL decisions. Mike Ditka not giving Walter Payton the ball at the goal line in the Super Bowl. Remember that? Multiple times.
So that's kind of the same Marshawn Lynch dynamic then.
Yeah, I mean, this one was more sentimental than it was game deciding, of course. But that was interesting to see that one on there. The Belichick 4th-and-2, the miracle at the Meadowlands where they don't kneel on the ball. Did you know about this one? 2007 in December, Sexy Rexy gets involved here, and he was only a defensive coordinator. I didn't even know they could call timeout. The Patriots, he was the Ravens defensive coordinator, Rexy. Patriots were 4th-and-1 at the Ravens 30, and Tom Brady called a quarterback sneak for himself, obviously, and was stuffed. But right before it, Rexy called timeout. You think that one went over well in Baltimore?
No, but I mean, I don't think that's that egregious, right? He probably saw something and said, okay, we need a different alignment right now. Now, it's like particularly unfortunate that they did go through with the play and it seemingly was going to be a stop. But yeah, I can't blame a defensive coach for calling timeout if he sees some sort of issue there.
Well, I don't know, man. I guess it looks a billion times worse when they make the stop, but I do hear what you're saying. Jason Garrett icing his own kicker makes this list. Bill Belichick benching Wes Welker in a playoff game. And then, of course, Pete Carroll at the end of the Super Bowl.
We got a lot of texts on the college side of things last year. Miami had a game won against Georgia Tech, but instead of kneeling, they ran the football, fumbled Georgia
Tech. That's right.
So Mario Cristobal getting a lot of crap from our texters for his decision.
That's why we pay our texters the big bucks. They come through in times
yes,
like
absolutely.
That.
Yes,
absolutely. Pittsburgh sports history. Trying to think. Some would say some of the moves by Jim Leland in that horrifying Sid Bream game.
Someone said not bringing in Tim Wakefield.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. I was always mad at Cowher when he went for a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down when they were actually making a comeback against the Patriots in Ben's rookie year in the AFC title game. They were getting killed, and they had a nice little comeback moving. I think they could have made it 31. I think they could have pulled within a touchdown maybe, and Cowher just took the air out of the place by going for a field goal that didn't make any difference. Also, Cowher going with Neil O'Donnell instead of Bubby Brister against the Bills in that playoff game many, many years ago. Steelers fans of a certain age will remember. They were mad at him for that. But I just can't think of anything like this.
Was there anything egregious in that loss against the Chargers in the playoffs when the Steelers were clearly the better team?
I was just talking to Jim Rooney about that yesterday. Maybe the coverage on that long pass with Tim McCyer, were people complaining about the coverage? Remember when?
I guess if you have to think that hard about it, then there's nothing that's that glaring.
Probably. The play at the goal line was to Dennis Gibson. I remember that. Unfortunately, Dennis Gibson played for the other team. All right. 412-928-9370. Get in a last second call or two. Let's go, Sean. Before we get to Ray Fittipaldo, who we got?
We're going to go Gary in the car.
What's up, Gary?
Yeah, hey, how you doing, guys? Happy day after Thanksgiving.
It's only me here. It's the Pomp and Joe show with no pomp, and it's Donnie Football Friday with no Donnie.
Oh, okay, Joe. Well, I have a Pittsburgh take. Panther fans of a certain age will remember this. They were in the, I believe, the Sweet 16 trying to get to the Elite Eight. They were playing Purdue. And couple seconds left, coming out of the timeout. All they had to do was foul. They let the guy dribble all the way down the court, shoot a three-pointer. The Panthers lost. And Paul Evans threw his freshman under the bus and said, well, he should have known.
Yeah, that was Vanderbilt, not Purdue, and you're right about that. You are right about that, man.
I apologize. I thought it was Purdue.
No, that's immaterial, really. The point is that might be, people may call that the worst coaching decision in Pittsburgh sports history.
It was horrible.
That was the Barry Goheen game. This guy's unbelievable limits to come up and remember that. You might be right about that.
My claw for 30 years.
They should have fouled him, or so they thought. And there's been stories written about that one. Great call. Yeah. Great call. Thank you.
The only thing that Eberflus didn't do was throw his quarterback under the bus.
Well, he kind of did by saying he liked what they did there. That just makes it worse. Appreciate the call. What a nice man he was.
He was, Did you call me Limits, by the way?
Did I? Oh, my God. This story is written by John Feinstein, the famous author. I just went back and looked at this from March 21st, 1988, The Washington Post. Back when newspapers existed and journalism was a thing, you had John Feinstein covering this game. Barry Goheen knew it was Lincoln, Nebraska. Barry Goheen knew there was no time to think, no time to pass, and no time to panic. That's a good lead, Sean.
It is.
There were 4 seconds left this afternoon when he turned up court at Bob Devaney Athletic Center, and the scoreboard told him all he needed to know. Pittsburgh 69, Vanderbilt 66. I thought they might foul me in the backcourt, Goheen said. You think? But they let me go. And then John Feinstein misspelled Durrell Porter's name. D-U-R-E-L-L. Come on, John.
Send him an email.
I just gave journalism, at least old school journalism, a compliment. He misspelled Durrell Porter's name, for God's sakes. I guess he was supposed to foul. I don't know. That's what this story says. Maybe Paul Evans got it screwed up in the huddle. That's what a lot of people say. Anyway, Goheen hits the shot, and they tie the game. One of the most horrifying moments in Pittsburgh sports history. I actually did an exorcism once, like a seance. It was before the Steelers-Chargers playoff game much later on with Santonio Holmes that year. He was a star in that game. Returned a punt for a touchdown, I believe. James Harrison and Lamar Woodley planted Philip Rivers like a javelin in the end zone in that game, too. You remember the year, right? So going into that playoff game, I decided that it would be a good idea to have an exorcism of sorts.
So you had holy water and all that?
Well, sort of. I was doing a radio show on another station in a galaxy far, far away. Actually, it was right around the corner. And I had all the great villains from Pittsburgh sports either quoted or had them as guests on the show. Barry Goheen was one. Dennis Gibson was the obvious one because they were playing the Chargers again, right? I think he owned a pizza shop in Chicago or Nebraska or somewhere like that. Iowa, maybe. Dennis Gibson. David Volek, I couldn't get, but I had a quote from him. Francisco Cabrera. That's the Mount Rushmore of villains, is it not?
What's
and Bream.
Graves.
Bream or Cabrera, whichever one you want to.
Graves for the was the Rangers.
Yeah.
Adam Graves, right?
I mean, he was a villain for breaking Mario's wrist, but the big villain was David Volek for the Islanders. That was the guy. Volek, Goheen, either Cabrera or Bream, and then Dennis Gibson. That was it. That was the list.
But Larry Brown, maybe a honorable mention.
Yeah. Yeah. Larry Brown would have been a good honorable mention.
Thank you.
I should have gotten a hold of him. We should redo that show sometime. I mean, it was torturous for everyone involved, but I felt like let's get this out of the way. Let's clear out the bad juju, so to speak, and start anew here. And it worked. They won that playoff game, you might remember, and went to the Super Bowl.
I think you deserve a lot of credit for that.
So do I. All right. Ray Fittipaldo is next. He's going to talk about this Steeler game, a very big game for the Steelers, but I would say infinitely bigger for the Bengals. Their season is on the line. We talk about must wins. it may literally be a must-win for them. I don't think they can get in at 9-8. They could. They need to not lose the